Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Generation Psychic. We've been on hiatus for a little while for the holidays. Happy New Year to everybody. Go to GenerationPsychic.com and check out our archives. Just so you know, I am Heather Woodward, and I'm doing the show, and Marshmiller is not doing the show anymore, and I know for a while we were co-hosting, and you can also check out her archives. If you go to GenerationPsychic.com and you click on the archives, you can check out her old podcasts and then some of my new ones, and then we went on hiatus for a little while, so there was a little time where we were like, is the show still around? And yes, it is. We're just taking some time off. Also, we have a new Twitter page and a Facebook page, so please feel free to check that out. I always give updates as to who's coming up and who's coming around, and we have some really good shows coming up. And just so everybody knows, I am Heather Woodward, and I'm a psychic and a medium, and I'm an author. I've written 2 books so far, and I'm working on my 3rd. And if you want to check out more about me, you can go to heatherwoodward.net. And also, I have this great little movie called Dead House that some of you guys have heard about. So anyway, today we have Julie Hoffenberg. She's an authentic woman coach. And if you want to check out what she does, go to www.authenticwomancoach.com. While we're doing this interview, and you can check it out. And she's got this really great thing here. If you sign up for her newsletter, you get 3 free videos that help you dissolve fear. And also, she's got some great stuff. She's got some little videos and stuff about her services. And it's just a really neat site, and it's really colorful and friendly. So, hi, Julie. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Heather?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back on the radio. I miss it. You know, it's funny. I didn't think I would miss it so much, but I do. I like connecting with people. But and obviously so do you, or else you wouldn't be a coach.
Yeah, I love connecting with people. That's like my all-time number one for sure.
So tell me about the process of becoming an authentic woman coach.
Well, I don't so much coach people into becoming coaches, but I am a coach that helps women step into their power. You know, my 3 principles are dissolve your fears and live your purpose. And, you know, everything that follows from that, it's a site designed to help women really, speak your truth. I forgot the 3rd one. So dissolve your fears, speak your truth, and live your purpose. So I work with women to do those 3 things to step into their power and become more of an authentic woman themselves.
Do you think that a lot of women have trouble with these 3 areas in their lives, generally?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't yet met a woman who told me that she spoke truthfully all the time, whether it's from, you know, being afraid of people seeing who she really is or being afraid that she won't be accepted. But usually women do not say what they mean. And I don't mean that in any sort of stereotypical way that, like, all women are crazy liars and or anything like that, but a lot of us don't really say what we mean. And I know that everybody can relate to people asking them, you know, your husband might come home and say, hey, how was your day? And you'll go, oh, it was fine. But really, you had the most hellacious, beastly day you could ever imagine. And so there's not a whole lot of truth in that. And I teach women to come to the place where they can speak a little bit more from their truth, and then your needs get met a whole lot easier as well.
Why do you think that women don't really speak truth?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. The biggest one I run into is that it comes from how they were raised in their family. If they were not given a voice, they don't know how to use it. And in most families, I don't know very many families that tend to be like this big, you know, happy-go-lucky thing that all sits around and talks about their feelings and gets everything out on the table. Most families either shun showing your emotions, or if you do show them, they say, oh, well, that's fine, but get over it. And there's not a whole lot of really good, authentic communication going on. And so if you grow up in an environment like that and you're never taught to have a voice or to really speak truthfully, and where you're taught to really just speak whatever will please your family, then you continue doing that throughout your adult life. And that's the number one reason I find that women come to me, you know, with this problem are going through, is that they literally have never been taught.
Do you think that it's a generational thing, but do you think it's a gender thing where it's more based around women than men? Do you think men are able to be more straightforward with their, not with their emotions, but with their needs?
I don't want to necessarily put an umbrella of it being like a complete gender issue. I know that in many studies they found generalities that show that women use many more words than men do throughout the course of a day, and that traditionally over time men have not seen this kind of communication as something valid, that the notion that you could get by on less words and shut up and don't talk so much and this kind of an idea is definitely something that's immersed in our society. But at the same time, I think that one thing that guys do have going for them is that they're just able to voice something so easily and bluntly and quickly sometimes, and in that way they can be very authentic with their communication. So, you know, they might be, like, you know, just out with their friends hanging out, or, you know, I know of an instance of hanging out with a couple guys that were in their apartment, and one of them was like, hey, clean up your crap, you know, take the garbage out, and nobody got offended. His roommates weren't all upset. They didn't go into some hissy fit. And I know that, you know, for most women, if you told them to clean up their crap, they might start getting mad. They might, you know, say, oh, she doesn't like me anymore, and you start to internalize it instead of just openly speaking about whatever's going on and being able to handle that sort of blunt, authentic communication. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to just pass it off as like a complete gender issue, because that's not really what it's about. I know as many men as I do women who have the same issue, who just feel like they can't speak authentically and they just weren't taught this. So I think it's to some degree a limited gender issue, but on a more broad scale, it's just due to how you're raised and what you're taught is acceptable.
Okay. Do you just, so when you do your coaching, do you just do women or do you coach men too?
Yeah, if there's a man who was, you know, connected with my energy and felt that I was somebody that could help him, I'm absolutely open to coaching men as well as women. Mm-hmm. You know, on my YouTube channel and on my radio shows and things like that, I tend to have anywhere from like 60 to 90% women listening to me, which is kind of interesting, which also helps me gear my business more towards women because I know that's just my natural intuitive audience.
Right.
But, I mean, I certainly don't, you know, throw anybody away or, you know, I don't have any prejudices or biases against, like, I can't help men or anything like that. I mean, it's very non-biased, and I'm happy to help whoever needs help.
Right. What you were saying before, that reminds you of that old cliche about how if a man says something, he's assertive. If a woman says something, she's a bitch. You know what I mean? That's
right.
I think we just have this preconceived notion that women are supposed to be more feminine, I guess, or, I don't know, submissive, passive. I'm not sure what the right word is, but it definitely...
Yeah, like almost maybe a little bit, like, more demure, maybe.
Demure,
you know,
that's what I said, yeah. But
yeah, don't speak up so much, and yeah, that's pretty traditionally how it is, and I think over time, women have gotten upset that they've had to be in that position, and so when they do begin speaking, oftentimes it does come out as cattiness or bitchiness because they're angry. They don't have a voice. And so it comes out in a negative way instead of just being able to say, hey, this is what's going on inside. This is the way I'm feeling about things. And, you know, I need to talk about it or something's got to change or let's come to a new solution. And the energy behind those words are very different than, like, screw you, you never listen to me, blah, blah, blah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
makes sense.
We have to make sure we're in the right energy of our words as well. That's part of authentic speaking, is that we're really intending and communicating emotionally what we feel authentically, but also doing it in a way that's not purposefully hurting other people.
Right. Sometimes we say things bluntly in anger because it's the anger fuels the assertiveness, when really maybe if we take a step back and not be so angry and then be assertive, then it comes out in a whole different way. It's a little more tactful, I guess, maybe, right?
Right, absolutely.
So what are some tips that you can give people to make them, or not make them, but to guide them and be more assertive and having a voice?
Well, the first step usually has to be, and this goes a little bit into my videos on dissolving fear, because usually your voice comes from something you're afraid of. If you're not voicing yourself, you have fears in yourself.
Okay.
So, I mean, the best thing people can start out with is just to go to my site, AuthenticWomanCoach.com, and on the main page there I have a little video, and right next to the video there's a sign-up box for the newsletter, and you get 3 free videos on how to begin dissolving your fears. And they're really clear steps on exactly what you can do. So, you know, that's the beginning. But to kind of go into it a little bit related to voice, we can't begin to speak the things we want to speak until we realize what we're afraid of if we do speak those things. So the first thing is just to physically write down what could potentially happen, like, or what am I really afraid of? If I were to voice this, what am I afraid of that will happen if I voice it? And then after that, the next question is, number one is, what am I afraid of? Number two is, what will happen as a result if I end up speaking that truth? And then third is, whether or not it's valid or not. You know, does it even make sense in the whole scheme of things? You know, is somebody going to die? Is somebody going to get hurt as a result of me expressing? And usually the answer to that is no. It very quickly becomes, you know, in perspective, and it ultimately seems ridiculous in the end that you would even hold anything back. And so at that point, it's easier to start speaking to people about little things, maybe, that are not quite so vulnerable, and then slowly and more slowly and more quickly after that, you start to tell people everything, within reason. But that's kind of like some basic steps.
Do you find, though, that most people's fears are overly hyped, I guess, or are they bigger than what they actually, the outcome would actually be?
Yeah, the fear is definitely much broader than what the reality would ever come to be. I mean, people, the problem with fears is that there's always an unknown factor. You know, if we take the example of, you know, saying that you're afraid to tell your family something, and usually you create this whole situation behind it, like, if I tell my family, then A, B, C, D, and E might happen. Oh, and maybe F, G, H, and I, and all these, you've got 800 scenarios running around in your brain, and you're a frantic mess about things that have not even taken place yet.
Right.
So the fear is much more dramatic than the actual situation. And it doesn't mean that, let's say, you told your family the thing that you're so afraid to tell them. It doesn't mean it won't be uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that, you know, drama won't happen. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through some serious emotional growth. But what it does mean is that the reality of it is just, it's not going to be quite so overwhelming as burdening yourself with all those thoughts and all of the possibilities. Because that's where, you know, as most of your listeners know, I'm sure, is that, that's where the ego mind goes, is like into the possibility to keep you from actually being vulnerable and doing things that would provide growth for you.
Right, and I think that's a huge thing, is the whole vulnerability issue, is the people don't want to be vulnerable. People want to be Teflon, you know what I mean? They don't want to let other people know that they care, or not that they care, that other people affect them, I guess.
Yeah, they want to just be seen as, like, you know, these tough sumo wrestlers that nothing can take down. Because, you know, part of that fear of speech is that we've been taught that, you know, weakness is not strong. Weakness is not a good thing to have. And so sometimes when you're vulnerable and you speak your truth, you will come off as being, you know, so-called weak or just vulnerable. And so we try to toughen up. We try to pretend that nothing bothers us and that everything's perfect. And really, I mean, that's not the case for anybody on the planet. There's always, you know, something that you're working on or something to grow with or something to move through in your life.
So while we're focusing on communication right now, what's like the difference between, I mean, I was talking about it earlier, but like sometimes we, especially us as women, we get mad and then everything just comes out all at once. You know, we just sort of have that throw up moment where like everything we ever wanted to say to that person comes out. How do you keep from having those moments? How do you get to a place where you are effectively communicating with people and not just, you know, projectiling on them when you get angry or when you finally had enough.
Right. That usually comes from starting with something that you know is not, like, the biggest emotional issue that you have to cover with someone. You start with something that is maybe a smaller issue or something more current versus okay. something that goes way back to your childhood and then just blowing up in someone's face.
Right.
Another thing to do that's very authentic is to let somebody know that you have some stuff that you want to communicate with about them and that you would appreciate, you know, going on a walk or going somewhere where they can have time to connect, and say it in a very calm way, not like, you know, we've got shit to get out and it's going to happen now.
Right.
But, yeah, the tendency is to go off on tangents and to blow up because we don't really know what we want to talk about when we go into the conversation.
Right.
So, you know, if you know you're one of those people or if you know that that's your tendency, then the best thing to do is to just sit quiet with yourself, you know, maybe go into meditation for a short period of time, you know, just to get in the right zone or to do a little bit of journaling or just write out some sentences of, you know, what am I feeling? Where is it coming from? How is it related to the person that I want to talk to? And how can I stay on, like, one subject? Like, how can I just talk about just this one thing that we need to bring up for now? And if you create some sort of strategy for yourself or you just tell yourself, I'm not going into my whole life story. I'm going to start with one thing. I'm going to see how it goes, kind of, you know, feel out the situation, see if this person is able to communicate with me, and then you can go into more later if need be. Because here's the thing, not everybody is going to be able to communicate in the way that you do. It's the nature of the world. I mean, sometimes if you try to communicate authentically, other people will completely spin out or be like, forget you, I'm not talking to you, this is ridiculous, this is a bunch of hippie crap. You know, every excuse under the sun can come up for them to not deal with their thing. So if that's really how they are, then it's something you need to just work out with yourself, and you just need to let go or be away from that person for a while until they're able to be in some sort of truth relationship for you. And people always say, yeah, but I'll lose them. Well, you know, who are you going to lose? Are you going to lose somebody that doesn't talk to you in the first place? Or are you, you know, losing some great, important, beautiful thing in your life? And you have to weigh that and see what you're really losing. And most of the time, you're losing somebody who doesn't treat you very well, doesn't care about your opinion, and has no ability to communicate with you. So if you look at it that way, it's not such a big deal to separate yourself for, like, a short period of time until maybe they calm down and they say, hey, yeah, it's cool, let's chat for a while.
Right. What if like, okay, so, I mean, because you bring up a good point. Sometimes when you communicate it, you know, authentically, you do get a negative reaction from it. You do, because people aren't as evolved or people just don't want to deal with their crap. So how do you, I guess, you said, you know, sometimes you have to sever those times, but how do you do that? It's just like a family member, or maybe it's a boyfriend or a husband. How do you separate yourself from that? You know, like, how do you make those necessary choices without, I guess, having huge repercussions?
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes there are huge repercussions, and we need to deal with them, because if we wait this long to have conversations with people, if we wait this long over our lifetime to actually get real and talk to people, then we will inevitably probably lose people at this point in our life to some degree. It doesn't mean everybody has to completely fall off of your entire circle, but it's the nature of becoming real, because we have to think about what we want to create in our life. Do we want to create in our lives a situation where we are having, you know, good, authentic, clear communication with our relatives and with our husband or wife or partner or whoever else? Or do we not? It's going to be one or the other. There's no middle ground. So you either speak truthfully or you don't. And, you know, if you consider being in a relationship with someone and then suddenly you start deepening your practice of truth, and you start deepening your understanding that you want to speak authentically and have a closer relationship, let's say, to your husband, then if your husband is in no headspace whatsoever to ever have conversation with you or to ever address things that need to happen, it must bring you to the point that you ask yourself, is this relationship to the standard that I want to hold myself to? Is this relationship healthy long-term for me, my children, my family, my relatives? And usually the answer is no if you can't even have conversation with your own partner, your own mate. I mean, that has to be like, that's the base, that's the foundation. The problem is a lot of people get into relationships, they never build that foundation, and then one of the people decides that they want to build it, and the other one is unwilling. And so if it is important enough to you in a relationship to build that and to have that sense of trust and faith in each other and that sense of openness where you can openly express and not feel so vulnerable that you'll be thrown away, if that's important to you, then it may be that you're with the wrong person if they're not open to that.
Right. I think it's an interesting thing that you said about, you know, holding it up to the standard that you hold yourself into, because I think sometimes most of the time we tend to mirror ourselves. And so we pick partners who mirror what we feel about ourselves. So do you think that has a lot to do with becoming more authentic too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people will pick generally one of two partners, either one that mirrors the strength in us that isn't fully developed,
mm-hmm.
so that we can kind of latch onto that. I mean, I've done that before in relationships where I was very attracted to people with deep spirituality because it wasn't developed in myself yet,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know where I was going with it. I just knew it needed to be opened, and so that was a very attractive quality to me. And then sometimes people pick a relationship that mirrors more of where they're at or where they've been. You know, they more try to, like, save someone. So you'll pick someone that's kind of below your standards or someone who is not necessarily as spiritually evolved as you are. And it's okay, you know, it might work to some degree, but there has to be a base. There has to be some kind of communicative foundation where you can come together and have conversations. I mean, it's the basis of every relationship on the planet is communication. So, but you're right, we pick things that either mirror us to the negative or mirror us to the positive of what we want.
Okay, we only have about 5 minutes till the break, so I just want to make sure that everybody knows what your website is. Go ahead and give it out and talk about your newsletter and stuff, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about other things you do. So,
yeah, sure. My website is AuthenticWomanCoach.com, and on the homepage you can sign up, as I said before, for my newsletter, and you get 3 videos that are complimentary to teach you how to begin dissolving your fears, and also the information is in those videos, but you can also go to my blog or my services page, and there will be a link to my free coaching session. I have a 20-minute free consultation for people if you really feel like you're open to coaching and you're open to really changing things in your life. That would be, you know, a great start. I mean, what's 20 minutes? You have nothing to lose.
Right, and you do a lot of videos, I noticed, and you have a YouTube channel, you said. What's the YouTube channel if people want to, like, watch them?
Yeah, sure. The YouTube channel, just go to youtube.com/rawhealingpatch. It's kind of our older health channel, which we'll go into in the next segment.
Right.
But I've kind of merged the Authentic Woman Coaching stuff into my health channel, so you'll get a little bit of everything there. Or you could just search The Healing Patch or Raw Healing Patch on YouTube.
Okay. And you also have a Facebook. It says here you have a Facebook a page, too, to promote your stuff that you use.
Yeah, Authentic Woman Coach is my Facebook page. I also have on Twitter, I'm Authentic Woman C. And then you can also go to Raw Healing Patch on any of the social media, and you'll find us there as well.
Awesome. So, okay, so if anybody wants to just get a hold of you, basically just go to the website and put in your name and then go for the 20-minute free consultation, correct? That's the best way to get a hold of you as far as that goes?
Yeah, definitely. You know, if they have a specific question, they're welcome to email me, julie@authenticwomancoach.com. But usually I answer everything in my videos, and when you sign up for the consultation, it's a really simple process. We get a consultation going pretty quickly. And then in that 20 minutes, we kind of sense each other out, see if our energies connect, and if it would be healthy to go further with coaching.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Generation Psychic. I'm your host, Heather Woodward. We are talking to Julie Hoffenberg, who is www.AuthenticWomanCoach.com, and we were talking about effective communication. And your three basic principles, what are they again, just so people who just came in and started listening?
Sure, yeah, the three principles I work with when I coach women are to speak your truth, to dissolve your fears, and to live your purpose.
Great, and that's pretty basic, but I find that most people don't do those things. Before we get into other things you do, because I know you have some other projects going on that you've done for a while, I wanted to talk about this because people always do New Year's resolutions around this time and they try to be better people. But that segues into this whole idea that many people kind of live in fear, and they live in this idea that they have to be something they're not, or they have to keep that 9-to-5 job, or they have to do all these things that they think is the white picket fence kind of life. I mean, what do you think of that? Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, the all these notions, all these fearful thoughts are just things that the brain, the subconscious, just like to keep us in so that we don't, you know, break out of our mold and do something that might make us uncomfortable. But, you know, like you said, it can be really scary when the new year rolls around and you've made yourself all these promises and all these new things to do and everything else, and it's really hard to get past that fear. But really, I mean, it's just choice. It's just a decision that, you know, you either are ready to do it or you're not. And I do go through, like, a simple process that people can work with in their fears in the videos that I talked about in the last segment, AuthenticWomanCoach.com. If you just go there, you can click on the little sign-up box to get these videos for free. And hopefully for the new year, that can help eliminate some fears for people because most of them are just, they're not rational.
Right.
Especially with the 9-to-5 thing. I mean, we've got ourselves all in like the spin of how that has to be how life is and that there's no other way out. It's just 9-to-5, get your insurance and, you know, check out a life when you're 55 and you can retire and that's it. And that's not always the way it is. You can create any kind of reality. I mean, you know, I'm an example of somebody that was in a situation of living off benefits and had no job or anything, and so I took that time to build my business. And now, you know, I run Authentic Woman Coach and another business as well, and it's it. I don't ever work 9-to-5. I choose my hours. I work hard. I do whatever I need to create my reality, and that's all. It's just a matter of changing your thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples. I mean, I was doing a reading for this man yesterday. I know he was an older man. It was over the phone, but I knew he was an older man, and he asked me straight out. He said, being a psychic, I just need to ask you this. He said, if I didn't have kids and I didn't work the job I did, do you think I could help people through my psychic abilities? And I just sort of felt this sadness around him because I was like, wow, that's really what he wants to do with his life. And he chose this other direction because he thought that's what he wanted. He thought that's what other people wanted him to do. And he sort of decided to not go in that direction. And I just wondered what his life would be like if he had actually been honest with himself and said, that's what I want to do. And so, you know, I told him that. I said, you know, it's never too late to start doing what you want to do. And you can still have your job and your kids, but find some way to incorporate this in your life so at least you're embracing it. You know what I mean? And it just sort of made me sad because that is the norm mostly. I mean, I was talking to somebody else just recently about how what I do is not socially acceptable. I don't get the best reception from it from a lot of people in my family. And okay, and he was talking about how he's doing film and his parents think that film is a hobby, not something that you devote your life to. And but I can honestly say that we're probably the two most happy people in the room, you know what I mean? Because we're doing what we want. Maybe things aren't exactly, it's a little bit harder because we have to work a little harder for things most of the time. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I think it's a harder, how do I say it? It's like, it's a harder road because you kind of have to go against social mores. But at the same time, I feel like it's a more fulfilling life because you're actually doing what you want. And so, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's definitely going to be more fulfilling to be doing what you really want and potentially handle. Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I thought you left or something.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's going to be maybe a little bit harder, you know, depending on the family that people are in, but it could be more challenging to venture out into what you really love doing and to deal with a little bit more of the societal pressures or family pressures or people who don't believe in you and don't trust you and things like that. That could potentially be in kind of awkward and uncomfortable position, but as you grow through it through time and as you gain more strength in your position and continue to do just absolutely relentlessly what you want to do in this lifetime, people will begin to feed off that. They will feel that from you. And they still might kind of poke and jab and do this and that. You know, you mentioned your family not always being supportive and, you know, certain family members, things like that. And, you know, it's just everybody's got a different viewpoint in the world. But if you stay true to your own, if you're really focused on it, then all of that stuff doesn't matter to the degree it used to. It doesn't stop you from doing what you need to do. It just can be like a simple annoyance every now and then, which is really not as bad to handle as the stress of knowing that you gave up your whole dreams on behalf of, you know, maybe some annoyance now and then.
Right. I also found that as you start really living what you want to do, those people who don't support you sort of fall away. And it can be a sad thing, too, because it is. There's a sense of loss. But what replaces it are people that actually do support you. And so it's a kind of a strange transition. And I think that's what most people are afraid of. I mean, just people I've talked to, that is the hardest part because you know you're going to lose something. And most people would rather not lose the people around them, and then they trade that for losing themselves. And I think what you're doing is fantastic because you are teaching people how to be authentic.
Yeah, it's important not to ever lose ourselves. There are situations in our lifetimes where we have nothing else. We have ourselves only. And that can be during the period of a day or sometimes a few months out on a journey or people who have been separated by their families through, you know, natural disasters or whatever have you. So if you don't have yourself, your sense of self, if you have broken yourself down to a degree that all you are is the people around you, then you have nothing to hold on to. You've got to be able to hold on to yourself. You've got to be able to stand up and say, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. This is the gift I'm here to bring into the world, which is a big part of what I do with people when I coach them, is to work on that whole purpose thing. You know, what am I here to do? What's my gift? What's the beauty that the universe or God or spirit or whatever word you like or creator brought me here to do? And everybody's got something, and it's not always like to work a specific job. Sometimes it's just to move through the world and acknowledge something beautiful about it, and that's enough. But you got to figure out what your vision is and go after it no matter what gets in your way, and just trust that even though some energies will fall away that are the sabotaging and unsupportive energies, the ones that you do want, the ones that are supportive, you will attract them by being in your strength. It's the law of the universe. It's the nature of the law of attraction. You will attract what you are. So if you stuff yourself away, you will attract other people who stuff themselves away and believe in the lie. And that's, you know, that's not the best place to be.
That makes perfect sense. So I know that you have another business, and I want to talk about that a little bit too because they do kind of coincide. How did you get into doing coaching? I know it's probably from your other business, right?
Yeah, my other business is the health business. If you go to rawhealingpatch.com, that's why all my, you know, social media sites are all under that name. And that one actually was started with your sister, Sarah Woodward. And we created a business to help empower people and help get them healthy. And we had been eating a lot of raw food and getting really healthy and all sorts of stuff. And we're really inspired to write a cookbook and all sorts of things. And so we just developed this company to help, you know, inspire people to eat more organically, get healthy, whether it's raw food or not. And at some point, I just felt like, you know, the health thing is great. I don't want to let go of my health company, but there's also a deepening to it. There's more to it. And that's where Authentic Woman Coach came in, was that it's like the next level, the emotional factor, the purpose factor. So I feel like my two businesses kind of, it just sort of blend together and they sort of complement each other.
Yeah, it totally does. So tell me a little about the Raw Healing Patch. What is it? What is the whole message with it?
The message is really to see where you're at on your level of health and then to move into a more positive range from where you're at. So it doesn't have anything to do with comparing yourself to other people, to deciding if you have to be a raw foodist or not, to having to be a vegan. I mean, there's a million ways you could go, but what we do is we help people look at their current diet and see what's realistic for them to go to next. So, you know, for a McDonald's drive-through eater, it might be to eat, you know, organic free-range meat once in a while and eat mostly vegetables. For someone who's a vegetarian who lives off potato chips, their next step might be to live off of mostly raw fruits and vegetables with potato chips, like, you know, once a month or something. So really we just see where people are at. We evaluate everything, your emotional space, your mind space, your location. I mean, obviously, if you're in Canada, you have different access to fruit and vegetables than we do here in California. So we take everything into consideration. And so we've got coaching services for people who want to get healthy. And we also do things like cookbooks and DVDs. We've got a cookbook called The Healing Patch Cookbook. And it's kind of a gentle transitional book to help people evaluate where they are and get healthier. And we also have a wild edible plants DVD, which helps people harvest free wild food that grows all over the planet.
That's very cool. Let's talk about the cookbook a little bit. I've actually eaten a lot of the, when you guys were making it, I got to eat some of the recipes. I was very surprised because a lot of the stuff is vegan or it's vegetarian, and it's actually very, very good. You don't miss some of the other stuff. And I think that's what most people are afraid of, is that, you know, I'm going to miss the potato chips, or I'm going to miss the meat, or I'm going to miss the cheese. Why did you guys create the cookbook?
Well, we were thinking about starting a cafe and realized it just was, like, a lot to get into, and it was a massive investment to do. We were trying to get loans, and it just was so intense. And so we thought, like, how can we help people without getting into the whole cafe thing? And so that's how the idea for a book came up, because it's not just a cookbook. The first, the introduction, and then there's, like, three chapters that are all about philosophy and food. With absolutely no dogma. It's very funny and gentle and lighthearted and loving. So we just wanted to create that kind of a vibe, because so many cookbooks out there are either just recipes with no information, or else it's way too much information and you can't get through it, or it's super dogmatic and, you know, you want to just, like, slit your wrist by the end of it because you think you're doomed. And it's not the right vibe to get into health talking that way. So we just accept people wherever they're at in their path, and that's how the cookbook came to be, is just to inspire people and help them get a little healthier.
You talk a lot about intuitive eating in the cookbook, and I want to touch upon that, because I think I know a lot of people, when they go on diets, especially around now with the New Year's resolution and stuff, they go real strict with it, and they're just not realistic about it. Tell me a little bit about intuitive eating.
Yeah, intuitive eating is where you begin to become so in touch with your body that you know exactly what it likes and what it doesn't. And people are very out of touch with this ability. They are so stuffed with food that all makes them feel so bad they don't even realize it. They think they're fine, and they really can't read their bodies anymore. So as you begin to cleanse out and eat more fruits and vegetables and raw foods and grains and healthier things for you, you'll notice that your body will become more sensitive to this or that. Like if you did 6 months with no meat and then you ate, you know, a big old 16-ounce steak or something, you might be in a little bit of pain or have some major constipation or, you know, some inflammation in the body, and you might feel very ill. So That's being able to read your body, that when you put something in, you intuitively know that your body says yes or your body says no, and you stay away from the stuff that says no. So I'm not going to tell someone, okay, you can't eat a lot of greens, but you can only eat a lot of fruit, or, you know, you can't eat grain, but you can only eat greens. It doesn't make any sense for me to tell someone that. I should ask someone, how do all of these things make you feel? And they should be able to eat many of these things and see how it makes them feel. But it takes work. It takes, like, cutting out most of the bad stuff and then just kind of experimenting with your diet and seeing what really ultimately gives you the energy. So that's what intuitive eating is about.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense than going on a diet, I find. Because as soon as you go on a diet, you feel pressured. You feel pressured to stick to some strict, you know, thing. If you're eating what your body wants to eat or what you're craving or sometimes we eat because we feel weird too, you know what I mean? or we feel sad or mad or whatever, happy or whatever.
Right.
And so I think if we sort of accept that and eat intuitively, we tend to eat less and we tend to eat what we want what our body wants instead of going, oh, we can't eat this. Like, I have a friend, she drives me crazy because she's like, oh, I want those potato chips. And then she'll berate herself afterwards. I'm like, dude, just eat the potato chips. Like, that's what you wanted at that moment. So just eat a couple and let's move on. You know what I mean? You're going to do it anyway. So why do you have to put yourself in a negative situation because you want to eat potato chips? You know what I mean? We tend to do that. We tend to, I don't know. And I think partly when you do that, you're not digesting it correctly. You're digesting it in a negative way. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, to some degree. I mean, there's definitely scientific factors to eating large amounts of meat, eggs, and dairy and having a negative effect on your body. So regardless of what emotional state you're in, if you eat large amounts of those foods, you have a higher chance of heart disease and all kinds of other diseases. But on the flip side, yeah, I mean, if you know that you're somewhere out and you're going to eat something that's not the best choice for your body, do it when you're in a good mood. Or, you know, try to eat them more slowly and savor it and really enjoy the flavor and put your body into a less acidic state. Because if you're stressing over it, you're already going to be that much more acidic and angry, and you're going to internalize a whole lot of negative feelings and self-sabotage and hatred and all those kinds of things. And you know, not everybody has to be perfect about their diet and always spot on. But, you know, if we fill ourselves up with all of the good stuff, if we're really ultimately super full on it, we're not going to choose the potato chips and the other things quite as much. But realistically, we'll choose them once in a while when we're out, and it's no big deal if you're really filling up on the good stuff at home.
Right. Tell me a little bit about your the other DVD that you guys just did. Is it out yet?
Yeah, the Wild Edible Plants one.
Yes.
You're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Wild Edible Plants, The Ultimate Guide to Identifying and Harvesting Wild Food. And this works with 13 of the most common wild foods all over the planet. Most of these are things you can find growing along the highway or along trails. A lot of people say, well, I don't have a big piece of land. It doesn't matter if you have, you know, any patch of any land, you might find these weeds growing in your own yard. We've got at least 3 to 4 of them in the book growing in our yard. So they're very easy to harvest. They're easy to identify. We've got, like, extreme close-ups of every part of every plant, and we teach you how to harvest it and how to use it, recipe ideas, all kinds of great stuff. And it's really fun. We've got Sarah's daughter in it, so it's great for kids to watch along. It's just fun and goofy, and somebody recently told me, like, thank God somebody made, like, a science-y kind of film that actually has a little personality to it, because there are little bits of humor. It also features wild food expert Katrina Blair. She came to visit us, and we got to film her singing beautiful nature songs and taking us on a nature hike, so you'll really enjoy her wisdom. She's just amazing, and she has lived off the land alone in the forest for many, many, many months at a time. So to be able to have her wisdom on the film is just incredible. But you can find both the book and the DVD at rawhealingpatch.com. You can also find them on my site. I'm selling them there as well, authenticwomancoach.com. And if you go to I believe it's the one on AuthenticWomanCoach.com. You can buy the DVD, which I think is $19.99, and then we're selling the cookbook for $5 instead of $20. So if you buy them as a bundled deal, you get a really good deal on it right now. And
yeah,
that's for the next couple days to a week, yeah.
It's authentic. It's on AuthenticWomanCoach.com. It's a special limited time sale. Buy the DVD, and you get the cookbook for $5, so it's $25 for both, which is super cheap for a book and a DVD. The cookbook alone is, what, $20 or $25 usually?
Yeah, it's anywhere from $20 to $25, depending on where you're buying it. So if you missed holiday gifts for people, there's no better gift than to help them get healthy. You could consider this as, you know, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions to only buy things from companies doing good in the world. We're giving part of the proceeds back to Turtle Lake Refuge, which is Katrina Blair's refuge, where they provide, like, sprouts and all kinds of organic food for schools in Durango, Colorado. They're, like, a nonprofit, beautiful organization that focuses on the well-being of the planet. So, just support this and get great gifts for people's birthdays. I mean, there's a million ideas that you could invest in these two for, and if you have a good sense in your heart, too, that you're contributing to something really good.
That's awesome. So for those people that are, like, doing the New Year's resolutions, because I know that weight loss is, like, the number one resolution for most people, because we tend to gorge during the holidays. So for people that are going to go in that direction and who want to do some New Year's resolutions about weight, what are some guidelines or what are some tips that you can give them?
The first tip would be to look at the past of their New Year's resolutions and to see what has worked for them and what hasn't. And if the whole New Year's resolution of I'm going to lose weight and I'm only going to eat this many calories and all that has not worked for you in the past, there is like a 99.9% chance it will not work for you now. And it's probably because you're being restrictive, and restriction never works. When you're eating the healthiest diet on the planet, you do not ever have to restrict. So if that's your issue, if you're having a lot of stress over restriction or calorie restriction or all these different things you think you have to suffer through, then I highly recommend looking at Dr. McDougall. He is, like a low-fat kind of vegan guy with all kinds of great recipes and science and everything else to back up everything he says. And you can have as many, delicious starches and carbs as you could possibly want. Another one is Doug Graham with the 80-10-10 diet. That's the same idea, but you're going to do, like, almost all fruit. So, these are better books to invest in and take a look at if you're one of those people who restricts calories or who thinks that you have to be on a diet to lose weight. But that's not true. I mean, if you look at any animal in nature, it is only the strongest animals that eat anything they want. And they don't get fat, they're stronger. It's because they're eating the food designed for their bodies. So that would be my number one thing, is to look at the past, consider your restrictive behaviors, and then check out some books that would give you some information about that. And maybe the second thing is to, in the new year, focus on something that's not so much about weight loss. Focus on, like, who you want to be, who you want to bring out in yourself, because the weight usually tends to fall away when you begin living your purpose, when you begin living an authentic life, because you'll start feeding off that energy instead of feeding off food all the time or things to stuff down your purpose. So those would probably be my two key factors.
So that's really great advice. Okay, so we're almost done with this show. I just want to recap for everybody. Go ahead and tell us about your site, your Authentic Woman Coach site, and about your three free videos, and tell about that. And then tell them about your two videos. I mean, not your videos, I'm sorry, your DVD and your book.
Yeah, sure. If you're just tuning in, you can find me at AuthenticWomanCoach.com. I've got three free videos on my homepage to help you dissolve your fears. And on those videos, I also have links to a free coaching session. You can get 20 minutes of free coaching with me if you feel fearful or like you're not living what you really want to live in this world. And then my other company, The Healing Patch, you can find us at rawhealingpatch.com. We have a cookbook to help you get healthier, and we have a DVD to help you harvest and identify wild foods, and those are both available at both websites. And the one that is on the sale that's going on right now is available at AuthenticWomanCoach.com. If you go to my shop page, it should be pretty simple to find. You just scroll down, and I have buy my DVD for $19.99, and you get the cookbook for $5 instead of $20. You can save like $15 that way. So that should be all the info, I think, for people.
That's awesome. And both websites are very streamlined. They're very easy to get around. There's a lot of information, but it's the way that it's set up is, if I want to know about this, go to here. You know what I mean? It's very simple and straightforward. So you should have no problem with it. And also, you guys have a radio show, right, that you guys do? I know you guys are on hiatus for a little while, but where is it so people can listen if they want tips and stuff?
Yeah, sure. We took a break for a few months to build my other business, but if you go to blogtalkradio.com, and then I believe it's / Rock Healing Patch, or just search us under Rock Healing Patch or my name, Julie Hoffenberg. We should come up, and we've got a great show with all sorts of wonderful raw food and vegan and vegetarian guests. We've got programs on sexuality, programs on spirituality, I mean, everything you can imagine. So just check out the archives, and as always, you know, they're free MP3 downloads. You can listen to them while you're walking or whatever. Just listen to inspirational things.
And then you also have the YouTube. What was the YouTube again if people want to watch videos?
It's youtube.com/ Raw Healing Patch.
Very cool. Well, Julie, thank you so much for being on the show. And I'd love to have you on again and talk about more stuff because you're always a joy and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I would love to. I appreciate the time.
Oh, no problem. And have a very happy new year. So, everybody, thank you for listening to Generation Psychic. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.